Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Lee from Lee and Keys. Special edition on Justice for George Floyd talk tonight. No UFC talk. Just want to talk about everything that's going on in the world today. And once again, my name is Lee. I'm a 49-year-old retired Air Force veteran with two black sons, two black daughters. And I myself happen to be black, and I live in Denver, Colorado, where there were protests and marches last week, starting Thursday. Friday and Saturday was actually pretty bad out here as far as destroying some of the buildings and stuff downtown. Not as bad as other cities, but I just want to let everybody know that Lee, I'm a black man located in Denver, and my host is Keys. Keys, introduce yourself, bro.
My name is Kevin, or Keys, as used on this show. I live in Revere, Massachusetts. I'm about 10 minutes outside the city of Boston. Most people, when they hear you're from Massachusetts, they automatically say, oh, are you from Boston? So, yeah, pretty much I'm from Boston because I'm right outside the city. I'm a white male, and it's been pretty much there was one the protest in my city started, I want to say, last Friday. First of all, I just want to say rest in peace to George Floyd, and there's a lot that I want to get into with that, but this is just the introduction, so I'll just leave it there. And we'll get into, a lot of different things tonight.
And the reason I wanted me and Keys to introduce ourselves this way tonight is because one thing about me and Keys, although we have never met personally, me and Keys have been doing this show. This is episode 144. An older black gentleman, myself, a younger white male, Keys, on the other end, we both united. Although we are in two different age groups, two parts of the world, me and Keys are united. We are a team. And I think right now in America, we need a whole bunch of teammates for this cause for justice for George Floyd. His murder has definitely sparked a call, not just in the United States, but all around the world. I know a lot of us wish to have our name up in lights, during any time in our life, but George Floyd he probably didn't want his name up in lights like this, but George Floyd has sparked a movement for us as society to unite, to walk hand in hand for a common cause, and that's to eliminate social injustice and police brutality. Me personally, I am very proud of the way the young folks, people that are younger than me, that are in Keys' age range, the way you guys have united black, white, Mexican, Asian, all races, all creeds, all religions, to fight, to stand up for this cause that my generation, that we could never seem to do. We could never, ever seem to come together to stand up for this cause like this, because most of the time, our white colleagues were in denial or didn't believe what we were telling them about what was happening to us as far as social injustice and police brutality. But nowadays we have the technology and the 24-hour news cycle where it's bam, it's right there in your face and people can see it. And I think now in America, there's a time for us to stand up and fight systemic racism, police brutality, social injustice. And I know that for myself personally, last Tuesday morning when I saw the video of George Floyd basically being murdered under the knee of a cop that basically was doing the same position Colin Kaepernick was doing when he was protesting police brutality and social injustice 4 years ago, when he was demonized, been a martyr, and actually lost his career for his stance against what's happening right now in America. So I want to salute to Colin Kaepernick, and I want to salute all the young people out there that's fighting this fight, that's doing it in the right way, that have locked arms with each other, not the ones that are coming out there to incite riots, to incite looting and destruction. No, we're not going to salute them. We're going to salute the ones that's doing it the right way. And tonight, me and Keys, we're going to celebrate you guys, the ones that are doing it right. We're going to celebrate the cops that are out there doing the right thing. We're not going to celebrate the cops that are scared to stand up against the rotten apples of the crew. So tonight, we're going to celebrate justice for George Floyd. We're going to do it in our own way. And with that being said, I'll turn it over to my co-host, Kevin, a.k.a. Keys, out in Boston, for his open comments.
All right, first thing first, can you hear me good? I just switched my mic a little bit. Can you hear me good?
Yes, I can.
All right, good. I had to just fix something right there. But
there you go. You sound really good right now.
Great. That's what we need. We need good audio tonight, because the biggest thing with this show tonight, and I thought about this to myself in the past couple of days. You know, a lot of people know us on Twitter for what we talk about, and in the past couple of days, what I decided, you know, me being somebody who I've been really active lately, and I've been trying to educate myself and, you know, supporting different causes, looking into different charities. I have there's a march on Friday in my city, not referring to Boston. Boston has had a peaceful protest almost every day since this past Friday, and there was one today as well. But there's one actually in my city. I live in Revere, Massachusetts, so there's one in my city on Friday that our local government apparently didn't. They told the people that organized it that they can't do it. They said it's canceled. But I'm still going to go down there, and I think a lot of people will still go down there, because as far as I know, you can't just cancel a protest. You know, I didn't think that needed anybody's permission to protest. If that was the case, we might not even be doing this right now. You know, if the government was working in a different way, and the system, you know, worked in a different way, and things, you know, were going, you know, the way of peace, then, you know, they wouldn't be denying a protest, you know, in my opinion. And I'm not just going to sit there and accept, I'm not just going to sit there and accept something like that. You know, but anyways, you know, me being somebody who's been really active, with everything that's going on, it's a situation that's very near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I live in, my city, the Revere community, is a very diverse community, and growing up, you know, I had a lot of different walks of life throughout my classes in all the Revere public schools, and I met so many great people, and especially at the university that I went to for college when I just finished up college, but the university I went to was extremely diverse as well. You know, I met a lot of different kinds of people there. And my thing is, you know, to touch on what Lee was saying, is that my thing is that I notice in my parents' generation, you know, and, you know, a lot of my grandparents have passed away, but that generation, I see a lot of denial and being who I am, being a white male and with a, you know, and within in a white family, you know, I'm half Irish and half Italian, but regardless of that, you know, I can see the denial in a lot of of my family and even some of my friends and a lot of people I've met, I see a lot of denial. And what I mean by denial is denial of the issues that are at hand. And the problem is that people are not, when I try to look at myself, I try to remind myself, and I think I've come to understand this at 23 years old. You know, I'll be 24 next week, but yeah, at 23 years old, I've come to understand this because I've learned, and you know, there's certain ways that I've said, no, I'm not going to believe that, and no, I'm not going to follow that. You know, your parents and your family, they teach you a lot of things, but there's things that there's beliefs that are woven into society, and my generation, I think what we've been able to do, to touch on what Lee was saying, what we've been able to do is to say no to a lot of those things and to unlearn a lot of these principles that I believe have been woven into our society, woven into our understanding, woven into our perception of the world and of the people around us. And it's something that, you know, there's a lot of opposition, but like I said, I believe most of it to be denial. And I think that my generation, you know, it's we have a lot of leaders in my age group, a lot of leaders, and I don't know where that comes from, but it you know, regardless, it's a good thing, and I'm proud of it, and you know, I'm proud of what I see around me. A lot of people I know, maybe I'm not as close with, but they've been peers, you know, in different classrooms, on different sports teams, regardless of what it was. I see a lot of people standing up right now, and that's what we have to do. Even if it's even where it's an issue that doesn't, we're not faced with this. And that's why when Lee had the introductions in the beginning, I think it was so important to just give a little bit about our background, because a lot of our listeners, you might listen to the show, but you might not understand who we are as people. It's important for you guys to understand that. So because there's a difference there's a difference in each of our worlds. And we did a show a long time. We did a show probably a year ago at this point, and I remember exactly what you said, Lee. And I think it was a show where a similar situation happened. Maybe not the exact scenario as this one. Maybe not as severe. Maybe not as criminal as the murder of George Floyd that we all witnessed. But there was a similar situation that had happened, and me and you were having an important dialogue right here on the show, because as you all know, we never shy away from serious and possibly uncomfortable topics. We always address it. We never shy away. And that's why we're here tonight. And we were addressing it on a show probably about a year ago. And you said this, and I never forgot. You said, if there was no I might not have the words exactly, but you said, if you're white, why, ask yourself, why did your parents have to give you the talk about what to do when you get pulled over by the police? You said something along those lines, and I might have butchered it a little bit. Maybe I twisted the way you said it, but it was something along those lines. And I got the message of what you were trying to say, and I understand it, and I see, and I think about that. I compare that when I watch a lot of this footage that tends to go viral, of all these injustices that happen. A lot of these, what I believe to be crooked police officers, a lot of these officers who shouldn't be able to wear the badge, and the way that they treat people of color, you know, at traffic stops all the time. And I remember that, and that is the type of things that people like me, the white community, needs to think to themselves. What are these? Why are these certain things proposed to us? Why are we told these certain things? It's because we're faced with a different reality. We're faced with a different reality than the black community. We're faced with a different reality than all people of color are. When it comes to the way police perceive us, we're looked at a different way. Now, let me give you an example. I know I'm going in depth here, but let me give you an example, because I think this is important. So I got pulled over. I got pulled over with two of my other friends, both white. So all three of us were white, right? and we went to this bar. One of the neighboring city next to Revere, it's called Lynn, Massachusetts. Now, we went there to a bar that was, we didn't really think, we weren't thinking of it in this way. I wasn't, but we went there, and it wasn't really an area that I was familiar with. And I didn't really know anybody. It wasn't a place I'd go to meet people I know. I didn't even know. I don't even remember what the name of this place was. But apparently we were in a community that the police officer that pulled us over claimed we shouldn't have been in. Now, this is what he said. So my friend who was driving in the car at the time had too many drinks, and he was driving at the wheel. And I had told him, I was like, hey, maybe you should stop at that stop sign. Because, you know, we don't want to get pulled over. He goes, no, I got it, right? So he keeps on driving. He gets pulled over. About 2 minutes later, I see the blue lights. I knew it was going to happen regardless. So the police officer comes up to the window. They go back and forth for a couple minutes. All in all, the officer gave us a warning. And he goes, and he asked us, he goes, now, I saw you guys come out of that bar. He said, what are a couple of white kids doing in this neighborhood? He goes, why would you guys be over here? It's not safe for you to be over here. He was like, now you guys go run on home. I'm going to leave you with a warning. Now, think about that. Think about that. I swear to God, that's what the officer said to us.
You know, Keys, I remember that conversation we had. And my words that night was, I want to say something had happened on Twitter. And I said, why don't we ever see a video of a white person getting beat up by a cop? Why do black people have to get a kid beat before they leave the house of, when you get pulled over, do this, do that? And when I said those words, I just wanted people to be put in our place, because, you know, the only way I could really describe it is just say, take your closest friend and put their face on George Floyd's body. Take your next closest loved one and put their face on George Floyd's body. And keep going until you come up with a number where enough is enough and you can't take it no more. That's how black people feel, man. It's like, when is enough enough? And I think George Floyd's death being videotaped and the way the cop was so emboldened in his actions, he knew he was being recorded. And you know what? It was like, so? I'm the man. What you gonna do about it? He had his hand in his pocket, and it was like, yo. And I was just taken aback, man. I was taken aback, man. We got a caller on. Let me jump the caller in real quick, Keys.
All right.
How you doing tonight, caller? What's going on? What's your name? Hello?
Oh, is that me?
Yeah, what's up?
Hello? Hey, what's up? I'm a friend of Keys. This is Gabe.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not too much. He told me you guys were doing a little switch up from the UFC talk tonight. Talk about some recent events.
Yeah, we're going to talk.
I like the conversation.
Yeah, man. Keys, I think the last time we talked about something that was socially charge, was it the last school shooting in Florida, or was it the Jonah Lucas song? It might have been the Jonah Lucas song, but you know, we used to do these shows, but we kind of got away from it because we had to go back to our niche. But I think Keys came up with a great idea for doing this show tonight, and I was in the process of saying that, you know, me being a father of two sons, 49-year-old black man, I worry about my sons every time they leave the house, especially my oldest son, because I worry about him because he has a very smart mouth on him. So the Tuesday when I saw the George Floyd video, I turned the video off and I called my son. I didn't text him. I called him. I said, Dominique, I know you're at work, but can you go somewhere so I can talk to you real quick? So he went to a place, and I was like, hey, man, look, I love you. If you get pulled over, man, the first thing I need for you to think about is getting home to your family's faith. Don't try to be the bigger man. Don't try to get the last word in. Just get home safely to your family. And me personally, I shouldn't have to tell my son that. You shouldn't have to tell your son that. Alejandro that live up the street from me, he shouldn't have to tell his son that. But in these day and ages we live in, we have to make sure that the people we love give police and people in that power get on the respect they deserve, because you never know what frame of mind they in. So don't give them a reason to show aggression towards you. And Keys, man, I'm very proud that you're going to do this March Friday, dog. Man, you just don't know how proud I was reading your tweets yesterday. Yesterday was Black Tuesday. That's why I wasn't online. You know, I supported that yesterday. But, Gabe, I'm going to go ahead and let you jump in and say a few words, bro.
Yeah, well, just going off what you said, I mean, let's keep it all the way 100 here. Like, I think anybody of any skin color should be able to tell a cop to suck his dick. You know, you get pulled over and you're having a bad day and you're pissed off and you tell the cop, you know, fuck you. Like, that, you should be able to do it. They work for you, you know. Like, as long as you're not violent, obviously, you know, people got to defend themselves. But the fact that it's always on the side of the cop, you know, it's like, oh, well, he was talking back. Oh, he wasn't agreeing. It's like, yeah, they're the fucking cop. They're paid and they're trained to deal with intense situations. And, you know, my girlfriend's a nurse, and I told Keys this 2 days ago, I think. Like, you know, she fucks up. She gives someone, completely by accident, no foul intent, but she gives someone the wrong drugs. You know, she's out of a job forever. She gets her license revoked.
Yep.
Like, there's no thin line. There's no reasonable doubt. There's no, oh, well, you know, she was just doing her job, and it's a tough job. There's a lot of pressure. It's like, no, like, there's no excuse for that. And, you know, I heard Josh say this, and it kind of disheartened me. I think he gets it from Fox News, but he was like, well, then what's the motivation to be a cop? It's like, there is none. It's a fucking shitty job. You're getting shot at. You're defending people who don't give a shit about you, who don't connect with you on a personal level. You know, that should be the reality of the job. It's a shit job. No one wants to do it. And if you fuck up, it should be a very strict line, and it should be – you know, Derek guy, he's got a laundry list of questionable at the very best and just outright horrible at the worst on his record. And there was just no accountability because it's a gang, and that's all there is to it. It's a hierarchical gang where they look out for their own. Their main job is to get home safe at the end of every night, not to get you home safe, to get them home safe. Man, that's backwards. It's completely backwards.
And you know what too? Let me chime in here. You know what too? Because you know how many, so something that I think needs to be pointed out, one that I agree with that. I think that, you know, per what you were saying, I think there should be, and I hope this happens. I really hope this happens. This is probably like one of the biggest focus areas I think that should be looked at. You know, either right now or after, you know, sometime in the near future, is there needs to be a stricter guideline for who can become an officer. You shouldn't just be able to be, you shouldn't be able to be prejudiced. You shouldn't be able to be racist and be a police officer. That's just not okay. We can't do that anymore.
That's the bottom line. Like, you got to be a superhero to be a cop. That's what cops are. And there's a high fucking bar for that. I'm sorry. Like,
and the problem is too, is that, So that's point A. Point B is that while I think there should be stricter guidelines to become an officer, because clearly we cannot trust this police force as a whole to be respectful to all walks of life. That's my belief. We cannot trust it. And the issue is that a lot of people will turn back to me, and especially because, you know, I have, You know, I come from a white family. You know, I have a lot of white friends, and, you know, they have a lot of what I believe ignorant opinions. And what they usually say is, oh, well, not every cop is a bad cop. Well, okay, guess what? Not every cop has to be a bad cop, because one is too many. One is too many.
Right.
And then they say, well, oh, but then I saw, because there should be none. There should be none. There should be none of these situations happening. And then they say, oh, well, you know, how come this situation was on the news, but that situation wasn't? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what situation was on the news, because just because situation B wasn't on there, but situation A was, situation A still should have never happened. So it really doesn't matter which one was on the news, because and that's the denial that is in the white community. That's the complete and utter denial that is there. And I'm being very upfront and honest about this because I don't care. I'm being very upfront because people need to understand their own bullshit. And we don't even usually swear on this show, but they need to understand their own bullshit because it's woven into the principles of our society. Racism is woven into our history. And it's so microscopic in a lot of areas to almost where it can't even be seen. But for someone that's conscious of it and that is looking for it, you're going to notice it a lot. You're going to notice a lot of prejudice towards a lot of people that don't look like you. And you need to point it out.
You can see people's priorities too, right? It's like, look, I'm not going to pretend that breaking some small business owner's front window is directly going to cause any change. And I'm not going to necessarily defend it. But if your priority is, oh, we need to stop the violent riots before, and then we can fix racism, right? Then we can fix racist cops. But the priority is always, oh, urgently, we need to stop polluting right now, and then we'll fix it. But it should be the other way around. It should be like, look, this has been going on for fucking decades, right? There have been riots. There have been protests, both peaceful and not. And nothing's, you know, really changed. Have there been improvements? Sure. I'm not going to deny the hard work of a lot of people who have fought time and time again to get incremental improvements. But I'm also not going to glorify them as having solved anything, and no, they shouldn't have the arrogance to steal that kind of glory. You know, like, nothing, realistically, we're not in much better place than we were, you know, decades ago, and that's because of the priorities. That's because it always is, all right, we got to stop the LA riots, and then we'll fix the problem with the cops. And it never happened. You know, like, my uncle was out there in LA back in the day, you know, like, he was a part of that whole movement, and I've heard stories from him firsthand about all the cops in the area shaving their head to look like skinheads. You know, like, these are not just some bad eggs, people who don't like the way the country is racially integrating and said, all right, well, what do I do about it? I'll get me and my friends, we'll all become cops. Like, that's, and until we face that reality and see that as the priority, there's just, I don't see an end to this.
But you know, I'm going to ask you guys what you think of this idea. And this idea actually is a backwards way of thinking, because it shouldn't be even an idea that I should even have in my head. But why wouldn't you let cops that grew up in certain neighborhoods be policemen in those neighborhoods? Why is it that cops are seemingly put and opposite of where they either grew up from or what they know? Let's say, like, where I'm from, and I'm not going to, not where I live, but where I'm from. I'm from from Portsmouth, Virginia. In my town, it's probably about 75% African American, 25%, you know, I'd say about 20% white and about 5% Hispanic. Most of all cops are white. So basically, I'm not going to say they can't relate to us, but if you had a cop that grew up there, wouldn't they have a better understanding of the community and the people that live there because they've lived there? And I think that's one way of trying to improve it, but I think it all starts with us getting out and voting. You just can't vote on a national level and a state level. You got to vote on your local level for the police chief, the fire chief, your mayor, you know, your city councilman. Your local government actually should be the ones closest to your community. And a lot of us don't take part in local elections. And now is the time for us to start doing that. I understand that being a policeman is not the world's greatest job, but there are people that's doing worse. You got people that are taking trash out Monday through Friday. You got people
right
that
now,
are...
Right, there's no accountability, and you get to kind of take things from people, do what you want. You know, it's the kid who was bullied in high school's wet dream. You know, they all grew up
yeah.
and became cops, like bully other people. Like it is a, it shouldn't be. You're right, it shouldn't be a good job. It's not an ideal job, obviously, even as it stands. You're still getting shot at and whatnot. But you know, as a total, it should be worse than it is because it's too comfy right now. It's far too comfy.
And the thing is this too, right? The thing is this is that. Is that, yes, I agree with your point to where officers should be, first of all, there should be a lot more diversity in the police force. You know, a lot of offices and a lot of, you know, corporations and just even small level companies, you know, even small businesses might have a couple hundred employees, regardless of it. A lot of these companies, and I've studied this in school, is the diversity is a major point of a lot of companies in this country. That is something that they have to. There's like almost like a quota that they have to meet in terms of the diversity of the hiring process.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Affirmative action. I think that's what you're referring to.
Which is supposed
yes,
to be a thing at a time.
Yes, but they're supposed to be because if they were to, and maybe it is, maybe I was just reading old textbooks or outdated textbooks or something like that. I mean, maybe that could be the case, but I thought that was a thing. The reason why I thought it was a good thing was because, and maybe I misunderstood it, but maybe I thought it was a good thing. So you could have, you know, people who understand the community, people who have lived in this community and they understand the culture of the community instead of having, you know, people who have no idea about how you live day to day, trying to tell you how you should, you know, how you should act, how you, or try to, you know, say they understand how you are when they are from a completely, you know, other side of the map. And that's a big disconnect that is there. And another thing, you know, to kind of branch off from that is, you know, back to what you were saying, Lee, about how you were, you're proud of what my generation is doing right now. And I think the reason that we're able to do it is, and I might come out of left field with this, but it's because we have social media. That's the reason why we're able to connect. That's the reason why we're able to connect on this level that we're connecting on. And because look at this, our parents' generation mostly only watches the TV for their news, and they only watch the major news organizations. Now, point A, the major news organizations aren't even highly fact-based organizations. Go look it up. Go look it up. They're not even highly fact-based organizations. And there's so much political bias in these news organizations. They pander to certain individuals and the interests of their network. It does not show you narratives that they don't agree with. The news will not show you the truth of what's going on. And the reason why that my generation and Lee, for your information, me and Gabe are relatively the same age, so I could say our generation is able to connect and why we have this huge tool to help us right now and understand what's truthfully going on is because we have social media and there's people at these protests that are taking videos of what a lot of officers are doing. I heard a transcription or what you might want to call just a voice recording that somebody was listening to their police scanner and they recorded New York City
yep,
police
heard.
What they were saying over the police scanner and they posted it on Twitter. The thing probably has over 10,000 retweets, but that's good because when you listen to what they were saying, this is the stuff. This is the problem. That's the reason why. That's the reason why everybody was so mad, you know, so many years ago when Kaepernick took a knee at the football games. The same people now are trying to act like that never happened. They're trying to act like they weren't mad when that happened, but they weren't even paying attention. You know, because they weren't even paying attention to the actual cause. You know what I mean? And now the same people are out here, you know, saying Black Lives Matter, but you're a hypocrite, though. You're a hypocrite, though, because when the situation comes up, you try to twist the narrative, just like the major news organizations do. They twist the narrative to fit their beliefs and to fit the perception of the world that they want to instill within the public and that they instill within our parents' generation, within the baby boomer generation, that they give them this understanding that, okay, all these protesters are only just rioting and destroying downtown Boston. All these rioters are just destroying downtown Denver. So we shouldn't allow these protests. That is not the truth. That's not the truth, because the videos that are going around social media and my generation is able to see is because our parents aren't on Twitter. Our parents aren't on TikTok. Our parents aren't really looking at Instagram. So they aren't seeing the live video that is being broadcasted to all people our age. We can see what's really happening at the protests. There's a lot of peaceful protests. There's tons of peaceful protests happening every day, even in Boston. They had a peaceful protest last night. I'm not condoning the late night protesters who would just want to throw chairs through windows and things like that. They just want to destroy things. They're not really there trying to stand up for something. They're just trying to cause destruction. I'm not saying that. I'm not really referring to that. There is that side of it, but the problem is that the news is only showing that side of it. So there's a major misconception about what's really going on here, and that's the problem. That's why. Our generation is able to make the strides we're making now and to really make a positive push, really team up and really unite, because we all know the truth.
And I think another thing about y'all generation, you guys are blind to color, because gaming has really brought a lot of people together, as well as social media, all across the world, for different type of cultures and everything. Y'all can relate to playing a video game. Y'all can relate to certain things on Instagram and stuff like that. I mean, my generation has come around to it a little bit as far as Facebook, but my mom's generation, hell no, you know, they stuck in their ways. But I think it's one thing that we need that I wanted to touch base you guys, is racism is taught. It's not something you born with. It's not something that's genetically in your genes. Racism is taught inside of a home. And what I mean by that is 1960s, you got a man that's in the 1960s. His dad is a racist. Or his uncle is a racist. Somebody in the family is a racist. Then you get to them having kids. They going to teach their kids what they learn. And the cycle keeps going. So it's not something that can't be stopped. It's just something that has to stop being taught within the household. And I think starting with you guys' generation, that it'll stop being taught as much, because y'all generation is more accepting and have more welcome and opening arms than any generation we've ever seen in the world thus far. And my son, my 22-year-old son, man, he has the Rainbow Coalition among his friends. And when they get together, I'll be like, man, good gracious. but I'm proud of it. You know, I'm proud that he has military friends, he has civilian friends, he got white friends, he got friends that come in a biracial relationship. He got, I don't know whether or not any of his friends are gay, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. He got, you know, he got all types of friends, and that was one thing I didn't have growing up. I didn't have probably my first white friend until I got the basic training in 1989, and I was born in 1971. I mean, I had Johnny Pendleton. Johnny Pendleton was a cool white dude that was in my sixth grade class. But, you know, man, and I applaud y'all generation.
Quick. Let's let's pause right quick. We have two callers on the line, so I want to try to cycle out so we can get everybody on one at a time, because we definitely can't have, you know, a lot of people talking at one time. This is, I want to give everybody a couple minutes. So let's try to cycle through so I can get the next caller on the
hold
line.
Tight, Gabe.
Gabe, thanks for calling. Gabe, you have any closing statement you want to make?
No, I think it's a good conversation. I think it's important to be having, and thanks for letting me be a part of it.
And
of course,
Gabe,
bro.
Don't be out there telling Cost to kiss your ass, man.
one day, man. That's the dream.
don't you do that shit, dog. Not right now.
No, not today. We're not there yet.
All right, bro. Be good, man.
Yeah,
you too.
Feel free to listen to the rest of the show.
Yeah, I'm going to stay tuned in for a bit.
All right. Let's jump the next person right now. I don't know. We'll see right now. Hello.
What's up?
You're back. You're on now. We just had a cycle through. Yeah, I can hear you.
Awesome. How you guys doing? I just got on like 10 minutes ago. I was listening to the last part of what you guys were saying, and you know, I think you guys really hit it on the nail, especially with the media part. You know, in my opinion, I think it really stems from both sides, and that's the thing that sucks, is like, why can't we have some kind of platform that tells us the news and not produces sensationalism to make money? Like, I don't know if there's any type of laws in order to like make them do that. I know the media is like pretty much free to do whatever they want in this country. But the hassling for things like this, because people are being misled every single day, and what it's doing is it's dividing us as a nation, not them, because they're the ones sitting in their houses, comfortable, making money, talking about either the good stuff, the bad stuff, the ugly stuff, the pretty stuff, and we're the ones pretty much listening to it. And the sad reality is they're the ones controlling what we're thinking about.
And that's just it. Personally, I know people like to stay connected with what's going on in the world, but when you're watching the news, one thing you have to do is this something that really touches your spirit or that you are really interested in, you have to do your own research. Because the news, you have to realize, they're in it for ratings. They're in it for clicks. They're in it to get more eyes on their product. But if it's something personal to you, do your own research to find out whether or not, you know, what they're saying is true, whether or not they're saying it's somewhere in the middle. Because normally with the news, somewhat part of it is true, but part of it is also sensationalized. Now, is the sensationalized part the part that drew you in, or is it the true part that drew you in? So you have to get out there, and you have to do your own research, and you have to, you know, especially if it's something that's near and dear to your heart. I know for me personally, I tend to watch my local news more than I watch CNBC, CNN, and I definitely don't watch Fox News. But I tend to watch my local news more than I watch national news.
So I just want to jump in right now because I have this headline, and I just want to point out something, speaking of which. So now, what do you think about this? ABC News. You know, one of the most, like, renowned – I mean, I'm not saying they're the best one, but, I mean, one of the ones that people – that I know generally watch and they trust in. ABC News has this article out right now that's been going viral, and the headline reads, it says, coronavirus updates, U.S. reports over 21,000 new cases amid mass protests. Now, tell me this. Why would they write a mid-mass protest? That because they're trying to make it seem like, well, they're trying to shame the protest.
Discourage you
take
from
away.
Protesting.
Exactly. But the thing is this, right? If you believe so, now they said that COVID-19 takes, you know, 1 to 2 weeks to even show symptoms for you to know that you have it.
Yeah.
Now, it takes 7 to 14 days to even show symptoms of having it. So I like how they were pushing that fact the whole time, right? And the same people believe ABC News and all the news that said it takes 1 to 2 weeks to show symptoms. How does that even make any sense? The protests really pretty much just started around the end of last week. The protests pretty much just started. You're telling me that 21,000 people from the protests tested positive. You're telling me they even went and got tested since 5 days ago, roughly 5 days ago. You're saying 21,000 people went and got tested. There is no shot in hell that I believe that for half a second. That is a complete and utter manipulation of the public who just believes all the news that they watch and that they read. And they know, and these companies know, right? And this is part of the reason why I'm in the business, but I don't like the business because I don't like the fact that a lot of these major companies, they feed off these people who are mainly headline readers. They're only headline readers, and they don't even read enough into the article to even see that a lot of times they're being misled in the first place. And they know that they're reading into the reputation of the company. They're not using their brain to think about these things. There is no way 21,000 people from the protest tested positive in the past 5 days.
You know what I might be?
To a week. No chance.
If you don't mind me interrupting, if that's
yeah,
cool.
Go ahead.
I 100% agree with you, like to the fullest extent. And I think perpetually made that title the way it is, simply so that people assume that because of these protests, 21,000 people got the coronavirus. Where in fact, you're right, it does take 1 to 2 weeks to even potentially show symptoms. Sometimes you don't even know you have it because a lot of people ended up not having any symptoms at all. And I think those numbers that they're getting are probably from tests that are happening across the whole country. And they're trying to fit it into a narrative such that it looks like, you know, people got this virus due to these protests. Meanwhile, it's probably just normal numbers. Maybe there is a small spike, but I highly doubt it's 21,000. That is very big BS in my opinion. It has to be.
But it was gonna be a spike anyway with all these cities reopening across the United States. There was bound to be a spike in the coronavirus due to everybody being able to get back out. Some people probably don't even know they have it or had it. But I know when I've been watching a lot of these protests, I've been seeing a lot of people wearing masks or having their face covered up. So,
yep.
Once again, the news is preying on people's insecurities because coronavirus is a serious thing right now in our country. It has killed over 100,000 people, and they really could kill two birds with one stone. All right, we link coronavirus to these protests, then we probably can discourage people from going out and marching and doing all this. But I think people are way smarter than that, and I think they're not giving people enough credit for their intelligence. But what's your name, man? Where are you calling from?
I'm Florence. I'm calling from Revere, Mass.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
I was like, damn, Keys, you got whole Massachusetts on the line tonight, dog.
We're passionate.
You know
about
how we do it, bro. You know how we do it.
Yeah, man. Hey, but look, man, I'm going to jump to something that's really popping on Twitter right now. Your boy Drew Brees. Did y'all see what Drew Brees said today?
Nope.
Okay, let me read it. So they asked Drew Brees about football players kneeling during the national anthem. Drew Brees said that he couldn't see himself. Hold on, let me get the exact words, man. That he couldn't see himself standing beside somebody that wouldn't stand for the national anthem because it shows disrespect to the military and the flag. And it also something about the veterans and the civil rights movement of the 1960s. I can't believe Drew Brees actually said that. He said, I would never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Wow.
Well, but the thing is, all right, so the thing with that is I wish he wouldn't have said that because that is just per what I was saying earlier, because I had already referenced Kaepernick kneeling and how people reacted at the time versus how those people are reacting now, which completely contradicts what they were saying before. So if that's you, I don't believe you. If you were mad at the kneeling, but now you're saying Black Lives Matter, I just don't believe you. I'm sorry, but I just don't. Because the narrative that was pushed at that time was the media flipped it to make it look like, well, the media and then the public also flipped it, and the dialogue was that it was an attack on America. And that is what I believe, that is what Drew Brees is, he's pushing that narrative again, making it seem like, you know, this is an attack on America. And it's not. This is people protesting racial inequality. This is people protesting injustices that should be protested. What do you really expect people to do? I would like them to ask him a question and say, what do you suggest that people do? Drew Brees, a man who does not deal with the issues that people are protesting about, what do you suggest that people do? Because it seems like there's a lot of people from the white community that are so vocal about issues that don't affect them. And that's the thing that really bothers me about this. He probably has never had to deal with any of these things in his life, but yet knows he has a platform and felt the audacity to say that. Very unhappy with that statement. I don't agree with that at all.
He said he went on to say that when we're all standing with our hand across our heart, it shows that we are unified and all together. Wow.
Wait, what did he say?
He said when we're all standing for the national anthem, it shows a sense of unity and that we're all together.
And what do you think would make him come out and say that at this point in time?
I don't know, man. And I always thought of Drew Brees as a stand-up guy, man. And you know, sometimes I can't believe I'm about to say this. You know, Key, sometimes the starting quarterback of an NFL team has to toe the company line. And I just think Drew Brees is toeing the company line right now. I think he's saying probably what the organization feels. But this ain't the time to do that, Drew. This is the time
I'm
to speak
your
heart. This ain't the time, man. If that's how you truly feel, that's how you truly feel. But if you torn the company line because, you know, you have to as the face of a franchise, then you just should have said, you know, I think people should be able to do as they please. The NFL have rules in effect against kneeling. And, you know, anything I could do to help the cause go down for you, right now wasn't the time to speak personally. If that's your truth, that's your truth. But if you speak in the torn the company line, that was just a bad look on Drew Brees' part. And the bad part about this is Malcolm Jenkins is on the same team as Drew Brees. And Malcolm Jenkins is probably one of the most outspoken social justice warriors in the NFL. And I think they said he done posted like 2 or 3 videos concerning what Drew Brees said. So probably after the show I'll watch it. But come on, Drew, man. You got to be better than that, man. You can't fall for the banana in the tailpipe, bro.
Yeah, I don't really understand. Like, these big-name people like that, he's like one of the, you know, known as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, he has a big name. I don't understand. I mean, I'm sure, like, he's got sponsorships and stuff like that, and I know there's that at stake for a lot of these athletes and stuff like that. But at the same time is, man, like, with how much money a lot of these, like, famous names already make, I don't understand, like, where their priorities lie. Like, is it all about how much money you're going to make or sponsorships you could potentially lose over standing up for, you know, your community? A lot of people in, well, maybe they're not in their community, but standing up for what's right in the world, or what's right in the country, period. I don't understand. It's always about money over serious social issues. And I don't really get that.
All right. I think that's a bad look for Drew Brees. He'll probably have a lot of explaining to do probably the next couple of days. But, you know, we got like 3 minutes left, but I want to touch on this topic. President Trump the other day, they were having a peaceful protest in front of the White House the other day, and he had the protesters basically attacked so he could have a photo op. I have never seen a president that has so much blatant disregard towards a unified America. It's like he would do everything in his power to divide this country, because he treats the country like a company. That's probably why I said it, even though it was an accident. But people, please do not take the lead of our president. Our president is the most divisive individual in the world today. Do not take your lead from him. That's all I will have to say on that.
Well, the thing is this, right, is one thing I don't understand is I was reading something and they were saying they're tear gassing all these protesters, right? And I was reading something and they were saying that the tear gas can make I don't remember exactly what it was. They were saying it can make it can really weaken your respiratory system.
Immune system. Yeah.
Your immune system. Making all these people much more susceptible to the virus. So I don't really understand. I mean, on one case, a lot of people will say, well, they need to do something to try to where people are, you know, knocking over statues and breaking windows and setting buildings on fire. They need to do something to stop people. But at the same time, though, I think, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, not saying it's a fact, but in my opinion, I feel like if we were to have a leader, or if these protests would have leaders who would step up and need to speak to the people, that's what needs to happen. And also, if there was actual justice being served in regards to these, you know, this group of police officers who at first it only seemed like they were targeting the one officer instead of the, you know, the bystanders or the other two officers that were also holding George Floyd down. Or maybe the other officer who was just standing there and telling people to get back, watching him kill this guy. So where they were only focused on one, and now it seems like they're starting to shift focus to a couple more. I think if we had better leaders. Right. So, one, if justice was actually being served, point A, and B, if we had better leaders to speak to the people at these protests and in all these major cities and what have you, I think we could calm down a lot of it. But since we don't, since our president is widely regarded to be a racist, I think that makes it a lot worse. And whether you are a Trump supporter or not, when you look at the social aspect of it, there you can't really convince me that Trump likes people of color. You can't really convince me of that based on the way he talks and the remarks he's made and the way he's treated different reporters of color. You can't really convince me of that. I mean, that's and there's not all aspects of a politician that are always likable. You know, not every person has everything, right? But of good things that someone may do, you know, sometimes the bad things can very much outweigh the good. And I think with him, that is the case. And I think that's the reason why a lot of this, that is a big influence on the level of violence that we are seeing right now. I know that doesn't directly respond to what you were saying, but
it's a point. It's a good point, though. It's a good point. And then, you know, what about these rubber bullets, man? They said that in one city they had a sniper shooting rubber bullets into the crowd. It's like, hit me with the tear gas. Don't hit me with a rubber bullet. I'd rather be tear gas than hit in the face or the eye with a rubber bullet. And
Lauren,
basically,
you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still on the line. I'm listening to what y'all are saying.
Yeah, hit me with the tear gas. I don't want to be hit with a rubber bullet. There have been pictures posted of people that have got hit with these rubber bullets. Oh, my God. Man, they are frightening, man. I don't recommend anybody to Google search that because I'm a guy that got a weak, when I see blood, I'm down there want to throw up. So I seen this picture today of the girl that got, she said she was leaving the grocery store with a bag of groceries, and she was walking to her car, and she got hit with a rubber bullet. And the welt that it left on her head, how much blood she was, I was like, wow. So, man, it got to be, hit me with the tear gas. Don't hit me with no rubber bullet, dog. And then why you got a sniper doing it? That's just ridiculous.
Florence, any take on the ways that, there's actually many different ways the officers have been responding to the protests everywhere, between the rubber bullets and the tear gas, and you know, I've seen videos of officers inciting violence. I've seen videos of police cruisers driving into or slash over protesters when they weren't. There was really no violence. They were just in a large crowd driving into the crowd. There's been many different things that I've seen. Any thoughts about that?
Yep. So in terms of the rubber bullets, I'm with you guys there. I see it as more excessive than the tear gas. Just from the looks of all the videos that we've seen online and on the news, it seemed like tear gas does do the trick in terms of if your goal is to spread out a large crowd of people, you throw tear gas. However, I think there's a solid case to be made regarding the police presence as well as the National Guard in these towns where especially the violent riots have been prevalent. Of course, we can all agree that most of the protests have been peaceful. You know, we've seen plenty of videos showing us that, except a lot of the media hides that. However, I do think one of the crucial jobs of the government is to protect the public. And in my opinion, and I'm sorry if any of you guys disagree, but I truly don't think the rioting and the violence on any side is any more helpful. And
nope, that's true.
And in terms of protecting these people with small businesses, which are being robbed, which are being attacked, including innocent people. You know, you just saw a story today with this retired police cop who was shot dead in the middle of the street and people were just walking right by him, which was a tragedy. I don't know if you guys seen that.
That was horrible. That was horrible.
But I do think there's a solid case to be made with the presence of these armed infantrymen in terms of protecting public peace. But then again, it's like, how are you going to separate these violent people who are dressed, keep in mind, they're dressed the exact same way more often than not than the protesters. And I think the government is definitely struggling to do their jobs correctly in a lot of places. And it's not fun to see.
Yeah, man. It's a tough time right now in our country, man. And, you know, hopefully with these protests, that there will be a call to action as far as, you know, legacy, policy, laws, and things to clean up some of this stuff that's going on. But it starts with us as far as getting out there and voting. It starts with us with demanding action with solution, not just action. Because we're doing the action now. The action is going on now with the protests. But now we have to follow it up with solutions. So I just want everybody to be safe if you're going out there and protesting. And you have to be mindful and conscious of your surroundings. There are people planted into the groups to incite riots, to incite anger, to incite people to do the wrong thing. Do not follow those people's lead. Follow the lead of the peaceful, the ones that put the march together. Follow their lead, because there's the ones that want to do the right thing and make sure that you get home safely and not get hurt.
Couldn't have said it better myself, man. I totally agree with that. And it's sad to
see. Very well said. Very well said.
This sad reality of actually what's going on. But then again, there's a lot of very beautiful things happening.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the media doesn't show that.
I mean, I've
and
seen
one
videos
of the things. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, go ahead. All right.
No,
I mean,
go ahead, bro.
I've seen videos of officers. There was one. It was in Flint, Michigan. I think it was like one of the higher ups of the Flint, Michigan Police Department.
Sure.
I've seen him in a couple different. So you know what I'm talking about. I've seen the same officer in a couple different videos, where, you know, the first one he was giving a speech to a large crowd of protesters, and then there was another one where he was like, it looked like he may have been standing out of like the roof of his car or something like that, or out of the cruiser, and. Or he was standing on top of the car or something, and he was like inside. He was like with a large. He was inside of like a crowd of protesters, and he was like, "We love you guys. Like, you know, not all of us are like them, and a lot of us are looking up." And it's, you would have to hear it. And I mean, you said you saw it, but I know I can't muster up the exact words that he used. But it was a really beautiful speech, and that's not the only case like that. There's a lot of situations, even some of the protesters, there's some people that are protesting that are they're being loud with their voice, but they're not using it to incite violence. They're not using it, you know, they're using it in a good way. Like I was saying before, we need leaders at these protests. We need people to start speaking up, you know, to try to redirect the attention of a lot of people and to shift the focus in these people's minds. A lot of people are, you know, I feel for the people. That's the reason why, you know, that's another big reason why I'm so involved and I'm trying to be so proactive with this, is because, you know, I feel for the people, even though I may never understand what all of you go through. I still stand with you while you're going through it and towards fixing it and I feel for people, and I can understand their frustrations. That's why when I see, you know, people acting up at the protests, I say, you know what, I can't really, I'm not going to condone it. I'm not going to tell them to do it, but people are upset, and there's been a lot of injustice for a long time. There's been a lack of justice in big cases. There's been a lot of corruption. There's been a lot of people that should have been locked up that didn't get locked up. And look what happened look what happened with Trayvon Martin. Rest in peace. God bless his soul. Look what happened with that. Trayvon Martin's dead today. George Zimmerman is walking the streets free. Now how do you justify that? How do you justify that to me or to Lee or to anybody? How do you justify that to the community? Why somebody like that is walking free today? Now I understand that, like in that state, they have different laws and things like that. But I don't think that excuses it. I don't think that excuses it. But the thing is that, you know, overall, I can feel for what people are going through. And you know, even Keke Palmer. I don't know if you guys saw the video, but Keke Palmer was at one of the protests. I don't know what city it was in. I want to say maybe Houston, and she was out there, and she was, you know, inside a large group of people at the protest, and there was a couple officers. There might have even been military that she was talking to, and she was using her voice. She was getting loud, and that's the type of stuff that we need right now. We need people like that, people like her, who have a name, who have a reputation, they have a voice, and we need them to go out there and to redirect the focus of these people, also to speak to the law enforcement, speak to the military. Speak your mind and use your name. I even saw your boy John Jones out there. Even John Jones went out there with a van full of people. I watched the video out in Albuquerque, taking away spray cans away from people out in the streets that are trying to, you know, use this time just to vandalize and to wreak havoc. John Jones walked up to these two kids who had bottles of spray paint. They wanted to spray paint the property. He got in their face and he said, "Give me the bottle." He takes the bottle away from both of the dudes and he just walks off. They were walking around the city trying to clean up, trying to stop all the destruction. That's the kind of stuff that we need right now. Use your name, because the higher ups, the government, they look at you guys, you know, they're looked at as prominent. These are people that they're going to say, "Oh, well, if he did it, you know," and the crowds are influenced by you too. A lot of these people look up to you. And that's what I was trying to say about needing leaders. These protests need leaders like that to go out there, people that they can look up to, people they can follow, people they can say, "Wow, you know, that guy's my hero. If he's saying that, maybe he's right." And look at the influence that will have. Look at the influence that I believe it is having. And I love seeing that. That stuff, these videos, I see these videos and my eyes fill up every time. It brings tears to my eyes every time.
Well, you know, we kind of went over tonight, but I kind of thought we would. And, you know, we wanted to talk about this tonight. You know, once again, my name is Lee. I'm a 49-year-old black man with two sons. I live in Denver, but I'm originally from Portsmouth, Virginia. And me and my co-host, Kevin, you can introduce yourself one more time.
Yeah. My name's Kevin. I'm 23 years old. I'll be 24 next week. I'm a white male. I have no kids. I'm still pretty young, no kids. So I'm from Revere, Massachusetts, just about 10 minutes outside of Boston. And yeah, that's me.
And I wanted us to introduce ourselves this way because me and Kevin, although we have never met, we have kept our show, this show, actually this is episode 144, we've kept our show pretty consistent. We've talked about a lot of stuff for as UFC, sports, music, national happenings and all this. But tonight, I wanted to show people that me and Kevin, a.k.a. Keys, we are a team. And right now, the black community needs more teammates. So you can get out there and support the cause peacefully. Get out there and do it.
Absolutely.
If you want to do something behind the scenes, just do your research and find you something where you can volunteer your time. But right now, the black community need teammates, and I'm happy to say Kevin is my teammate, and I'm so proud of him. and all that he's done. And I'm proud of him for setting this up tonight for us to talk about this. And tomorrow he's going to get out there and put his boots to the street in peace. And I'll be praying for him and all the protesters that'll be out there with him. And when you feel it getting bad, leave, Keys. That's all. That's the only advice I would give you. When you feel it getting bad, go ahead and pack your stuff up and go home, bro. Get home safely to your family. With that being said, I'll let Keys close the show out tonight. I'm not going to do it. I'll let Keys close out tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I mean, first of all, before I close, I just want to thank everybody for calling in. It was really nice to have a lot of my friends, you know, a lot of people who know that I'm passionate about these issues calling to the show tonight. I really appreciate that. You know, it's really great to know that, you know, that people, they consider you in that way. And it's nice when people also feel passionate about a similar issue and they want to work. Like you were saying, we need more teams and we need more people collaborating and coming together and uniting and actually addressing the issues in all of our communities. And regardless of what you look like, and regardless of if it affects you or not, because a lot of people only want to respond to issues that are relative to them and issues that are relative to their family, what's going to affect them. Although a lot of people, they don't care. So it's good to know that there's people like that. And that a lot of us are coming together. We need more collaboration like that. And I appreciate everybody, you know, my friends for calling in tonight. Florence, I appreciate you for calling in tonight. My buddy Josh called in tonight. I think we might have lost him at some point. We did have a couple people in the queue at once, so it was kind of hard to weave through that. But no, I appreciate you. Gabe called in tonight and gave his opinion on a lot of things. I appreciate that. You know, it's really nice to know that people – you know, want to come out and use their voice during such an important time. And like I was saying before, like this time we're in right now is a time for leaders. We need leaders. You know, it's growing up there, we said, like, you're either a leader or a follower. A lot of people were followers. A lot of people I knew growing up are still followers because they never learned how to lead and how to walk the path less traveled, even when all your friends or, you know, all your family are taking, you know, the common road. They might be taking all the same route, but, you know, they never wanted to walk the road less traveled. When you know you're right, that's when you learn how to lead. And not about just being right, but when you know that what you stand for is the direction things need to go in. You know, and when you start to, you know, we need more influence and more people like that. You know, it's not, you know, I pride myself in that. I consider myself a leader. You know, I know Lee is a leader. You know, he leads by example. He teaches his kids by example. And you know, that's something that I don't know about. I don't have a family like that. He has a family that he can show his kids and teach them. You know, his mentality, you know, his very great, you know, his very wise mentality. And that's what we need more of around here right now. We need people to be vocal and to step out and get out of your comfort zone, get out of that, you know, shelteredness and come out and step up for what's right in the world. And it's like Lee was saying, it's about getting out and voting, fill out the census, you know, make your voice heard, use your power that you have. Instead of saying that I don't like, you know, any of the candidates, I'm just not going to vote. You know, a lot of times that works against you and that works against your community. And that, you know, the thing is to try to educate yourself and to understand more of how you can help. I think a lot of people want to help, but they don't know how. So that's something that I've been trying to do lately is to, you know, learn more terminology, understand more of the politics of what's going on and try to understand that side of it. Also charities. There's a lot of, you know, nonprofit organizations that are trying to work towards fixing a lot of these issues and try to, you know, put money in people's pockets, into organizations' pockets that are trying to do even bigger things. They're trying to raise money to try to fix a lot of these, you know, issues and try to fight you know, fight the man on a lot of these things. And those are the organizations I've been looking into. I've been donating. I donated, I donated to one yesterday called the Brooklyn Bail Fund. That one is, go look it up on Google, the Brooklyn Bail Fund. That one is to put towards bail for protesters that were arrested in the New York City protests. New York City has been really bad. A lot of boroughs, you know, in New York have gotten very violent, but it's a lot of the, you know, a lot of it is being misconstrued. A lot of protesters are getting, you know, police are arresting the wrong people because they're so out, you know, I think right now police are outnumbered and they're probably, you know, panicking. And I think they're making a lot of the wrong decisions. They're taking the wrong people, people that are probably just bystanders to a lot of the violence. And they were actually at a protest. They're getting arrested. So the Brooklyn Bail Fund, look that up and donate to that. That goes towards bail to get protesters out of jail that from the New York City protest. I donated to another one earlier. I can't remember the name of it. If you go to ally, A-L-L-Y dot wiki, A-L-L-Y dot W-I-K-I, go to that. I know it sounds simple, but that's actually a URL. Go to that. That has a lot of links to a lot of different funds. That has the George Floyd Memorial Fund. I've already donated to the George Floyd Memorial Fund. By the way, shout out to Floyd. I saw Floyd Mayweather Jr. today actually donated, I think it was $89,000 to George Floyd's family to pay for the funeral for him. So Mayweather donated $89,000 to pay for George Floyd's funeral. So I know we haven't always had haven't always been the biggest fan of Mayweather, but that right there had made me a big fan. That made me respect him a lot more because I appreciate that move. And but that's just the kind of thing. We need leaders. We need people to step out and try to help and find out. If you don't know how to help, find out how to help. And like I said, go to those websites, donate, make those donations to those nonprofits and try to help out your community. Do the best you can. And if you can't, if you don't think that you can, you know, help 100 people, try to help one person. If you can't donate money, you don't have to donate. Just try to, you know, change your ideology. Try to change the way you live. You know, Michael Jackson said the way that we get to change is, you know, first to look at the man in the mirror, Michael Jackson said. And that's how we're going to get ahead. You got to, if you can't, you know, if you can't, if you feel like you can't change things or you can't, you know, do that much, look at yourself and see what you can change about yourself. You can influence your social group, your inner circle, your family. Try to influence three people. Three people might influence six, might influence five, might influence, you know, 50, 100, 1,000. That's how that's going to happen. So that's what we need to do right now. And, you know, like I said, I appreciate everybody for listening. Thank you for the platform, for allowing our voices to be heard. You know, it's these shows that are near and dear to my heart. And I just thank you guys. You know, we're gonna get through it. And rest in peace to George Floyd. We're gonna keep on working until there's justice.
All right, man. Nice closing, Keys. Everybody have a good evening. Take care of each other. Be safe out there. And keep this word in mind if you're out there protesting. Keep it in peace.